Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or a podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other
ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into
They may leave this place, Lord, knowing that they didn't hear from a preacher, but that they heard from God. Father, we commit our hearts, our minds, and our souls unto thy word right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord. Bethlehem. And that is our theme throughout this entire year, is that we want to make him known. To make him known. Not only that, the other part of our vision this year is that we want to sanctify this structure, this building, for his glory. Amen. We want to sanctify the building, the outer look and the inner look of the building, that God may continue to be glorified for generations to come. Amen. Amen. We continue this month and the month that we've designated as Make Him Known Through Sanctity. Make Him Known Through Sanctity. And our verse this month has been 1 Peter 1:16. For it is written, Be holy because I am holy. That's the challenge for all of God's people, to live a sanctified life. For a sanctified vessel will be heard, but a vessel that's not sanctified, people won't believe the words that you say because they're looking at your actions. Someone said that they can see a sermon better than they can hear one. And if you're saying one thing and living another way, you won't be able to make him known. So it's our challenge as a church this month to live in sanctity. Amen? This morning, we're sharing a message entitled Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And we're going to come from Psalms 139, verses 13 through 18. Psalms 139, 13 through 18. And would you please stand in reverence to the Word of God, stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the Word of God. And let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. Two slides. One, two, three. Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. And again, we're talking about this morning, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Psalm 139:13-18. And we want you to know this morning that God created you or me. God has a course for you or me. And that God cares for you or me. And we want you to know this morning that God has a purpose and plan for your life. God has a purpose and plan for your life. This is an incredible text to study. Psalms 139. Because it starts out by saying, O Lord, in verse 1, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts from far off. And it's a psalm that really draws you into a man who has an intimate relationship with God. So much so that he paints a wonderful picture of how and what God knows about him personally, which is everything. Which is everything. And it comes to the conclusion that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalms 139 is a text that many Christians use to talk about the sanctity of life. The sanctity of life. And why we as Christians don't believe in abortions is because we believe that, or some believe that, life begins in the womb. But I believe that life begins with God. Because this text describes that even before your mama and daddy had any thought of you, you were hidden in secret places. God had already planned the days of your life. And we do believe in the sanctity of life. But not only that before birth, but we believe the sanctity of life after birth. Well, there are some people more concerned about being born as opposed to living life. There's a whole lot of people that have been born, and they need to know that their life is a sanctified life as well. That you were born and made in the image of God. And as a result of that, you mean everything. Now, I'm not trying to get you here this morning to begin to ego trip. But we do have a lot of people in our culture and in our society who try to change what God has made. They don't like the way their eyes look. They don't like the way their nose look. They don't like the way their face is shaped. And in our day and time, God says that you're made in the image of God. And many people are changing the very image of God upon their life. A good illustration of that is Michael Jackson. He was born a little black boy, and he died a he said, preacher, beat it, leave him alone, beat it. but that's what happens when people don't know what God did for them. Because the truth of the matter is today, there's some women that may be listening today, and they don't know how beautiful they are because they've been born into the image of God, and as a result, they eat food and they throw it up, trying to maintain a certain image. Hello, somebody. Some ladies here that can't love other ladies here because one looks different than the other. And because of low self-esteem, they cannot love themselves, and as a result, they cannot love others. Hello, somebody. God has sent me here to let you know that you were made in the very image of God. You are God's workmanship. You are a work of art. You are beautiful. Hello, somebody. You don't need a man to tell you that because God says it. Hello, somebody. God says you look just like your daddy.
All right.
Hello, somebody. You thought your heavenly father was your daddy. You thought your earthly mother was your mother, and that would be okay, but everybody here today don't have a mother and don't have a father. And there's some folk here today that do have a mother and a father and wish they didn't have them. Hello, somebody. And if we put them on too high of a pedestal, we think that, they are our reason for living, our purpose for living. And many fathers and mothers don't have it together. And as children began to look for purpose and meaning in life, and they see the family that they come from, they think, I could never be anything. Hello, somebody. But God says through his word that you are everything. Hello, somebody. That you were created in the image of God, that he formed you in your mother's womb. And that's what makes you so special. That's where you get your purpose for living, your purpose in life. Mama and daddy may not have been anywhere in life. They may have not been, five blocks from where they grew up. But God says he want to take you and he want to use you and he wants to send you all around the world. Hello, somebody. Remember the story of Ben Carson. I had a chance to look at that gifted hands. His mother had a third grade education. And he was a man who believed in God, and he ended up being a neurosurgeon, a surgeon of the brain. And his mother, and as a young child, he was an F and a D student, but God got a hold of him and took him and made him into something.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. It's not where you start off, it's where you end up. And if you're starting out away from God, then that's the whole problem. Hello, somebody. And God has you here today because he wants to reach out to you and he wants to love on you and he wants you to know that you're more than what your daddy's told you. Hello, somebody. You're more than what your mother said about you. You're more than that accident. You're more than that incident. God wants to take all of that and work it together for his good because he loves you and you are called, for his purpose. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, God is talking to you this morning. Hello, somebody. I'm so glad that this text gives me purpose in life. This text gives me meaning in life. And I'm so glad that God created me. Hello, somebody. Because if God didn't create me, I would have been, a crack addict, a drug addicted, just like my daddy was. Who died as a result of breaking into his brother's house, getting in a struggle, trying to steal from him. And he died. Hello, somebody. I have to tell my testimony because you are not where you come from. You are what God says that you are. Hello, somebody. I got a testimony. I'm created in God. And I was one of them people that did real bad in school because I had dyslexia. But God took that little boy that had dyslexia, could barely read, and he made him an author. And I've written 4 books. Hello, somebody. you're not. Oh, where you are, some of you, but you are what God says that you are, regardless of any incidents and accidents and things that have happened in your life. God says you are more than where you are. Hello, somebody. Because God says, I created you. It says, the psalmist says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful and I know full well. Hello, somebody. Somebody got raised up and people are talking about you all of your life. They talked about you. They never told you anything good about yourself. And as a result, oh, you think that you're not worth anything. You think, oh, that you have no value in life. And that's why you allow people to use you and misuse you and abuse you. You think, oh, that you don't deserve a good man. You think that you don't deserve a good one. And that's why you allow people to use you and misuse you because you have no value to yourself. But God says that the devil is a lie. You deserve the best that this life has to offer. And as a matter of fact, he gave you Jesus, who's the best of what this life has to offer. And as a result, oh, you are a child of the King. A child of the King. Don't you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Regardless of what Hollywood says, that you got to be a size zero. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. For you to have any value or size 2 or size 4, oh, God says the size that you have is the size in me. Hello, somebody. And I created you. I created you, and guess what? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Hello, somebody. And he says, he noticed God's work, and he says that your works are wonderful. Don't you know that you are a wonderful being? You're wonderful. Don't you know that you are precious in God's sight? And when you understand that you're precious in God's sight, you just won't accept just anything in this life. Just anything in this life. Precious things are taken care of. Precious things. And if you're in a place right now where you're not being taken care of, a place right now where you're being abused and misused, a place right now where people don't know your value, then God is saying that it's time for you to leave that place because you are created in my image. Go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here. Don't you know that God created me? Now, I'm talking to some folk that may have low self-esteem, like that person that would change everything about themselves. You don't like your nose. You don't like your ears. You don't like the size of your head. Hello, somebody. you think you got a big head, but most movie stars have big heads. Hello, Reverend. God created every part of you. Hello, somebody. Every part of you. Isaiah 44:24 says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, who formed you in where? In the womb. And I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread it out the earth by myself. The same God that created the universe. Don't you know the universe really was created for you? Hello, somebody. When babies, little babies are born, we put them in their baby place and carriage, and we put up something above them so they have something to look up to. Don't you know that that's what the universe is? It's made for you. You are the most valuable thing upon this world. Hello, somebody. The universe was made for you that you may manifest God's glory. God formed you in your mother's womb.
Yeah.
A That's why we believe that life is so important there in the womb and outside of the womb, is that it's a creation from God. And you are that creation. He said he took the time to form you. Most of us think creation ended with Adam and Eve, but God says, I'm creating in the mother's womb. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And that's why God doesn't want you to, cause death to that child that you didn't plan to have. Hello, somebody. You're a Christian and you got caught up and now you're pregnant and you know everybody's looking, everybody's going to judge you, and you think that just to get rid of the child and that's all that you need to do. Hello, no. That's satanic and from the pit of hell. That's the devil trying to talk to you.
All right.
So go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise up in here, because this message is helping somebody. Don't you know that every baby that is born is a blessing and a gift from God, regardless of how they were born? Hello, somebody. So when I was at my first church in Abilene, that was the church wanted to give a baby shower, and it was a married couple, and they wanted to give her a baby shower, but there was a teen mother who had gotten pregnant out of wedlock. And they asked me, they called me, and it was in another church, they called me and they said, Reverend, what should we do? What should we do? Should we give this teen mother a baby shower? We gave the married couple a baby shower. Should we do the same for the teen mother? To which I said, it's called a baby shower.
All right, man.
It's called a baby shower. It is meant to be a blessing to who? The baby. Hello, somebody. As a matter of fact, that child probably needs a lot more help than oh, hello, somebody. Let me say that again. She decided to carry that baby, and she would have to carry the shame of carrying that baby. She would be, I'll sit by the folk at the church. Ooh, wait a minute. Now, at the church? That don't sound like my Jesus.
All right.
Hello, somebody. Because my Jesus says, and God says, he formed that baby in the mother's womb. It's his work, not your work. Hello, somebody. But you say, preacher, what if a woman was raped and she conceived? Ooh. Does that make a difference, preacher? Now I have you, preacher. Wait a minute, man. That word says that my Redeemer who formed you in the womb. If the Redeemer is at work.
All right.
Hello, somebody. Ooh, this is deep. It's deep, isn't it? It's deep. If the Redeemer is at work, you better join in with the Redeemer.
All right.
Hello, somebody. And who knows, that child may be a child who's born and has the cure for cancer. Hello, somebody. Because it's not where you come from or how you came. All you need to know is that God sent you. Hello, somebody. And you don't have to be what mama and daddy was. You don't have to be defined by that incident, that accident, or that so-called mistake. Hello, somebody. I'm so glad that it is my Redeemer who forms me, because he can redeem some situation. He can change some situation. He can make that thing that looks like it's about to kill me.
Yeah.
Person on Facebook says, just when the butterfly thought he was dead. Hello, somebody. Struggling in that cocoon. just when he thought he was dead, there was transformation that was taking place. And if you trust God in the middle of your circumstance, in the middle of your tribulation, in the middle of your accidents, your incidents, if you trust God, my God is a redeemer. He can take all that which seems bad. He can take those accidents, incidents, bad things that happened to you, and he can turn it around together for his good. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here, because I didn't come from the best place in the world, and you may not have come from the best place in the world. Some of you may have been an accident to your mama and your daddy, but God says, I formed you.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. I created you. I am your redeemer, and I will redeem you from where you are and take you where I want you to be. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Because God created me.
Yeah.
Hey, I may have been an accident to my mama, but God created me. My daddy may not have had want anything to do with me, but God created me. Hello, somebody.
Yes, sir.
Hello, somebody. I didn't know my daddy till I was 17, and when I got to know him, I wasn't impressed. Hello, somebody. And he died when I was 19. I'm so glad that I didn't have to get my purpose from him, because he lived a life that had no purpose. I'm so glad that I got to know my Redeemer, and my Redeemer is who have taken me and put me in this place and has taken me all over the world, and I've stood with presidents. I know my Redeemer lives. Hello, somebody. I think that's what Job said in the midst of his heartaches and the midst of his trials. Is somebody here today? You're in the midst of a heartache. You're in the midst of a trial. You think your life is about to be over, but you better get some of that Redeemer in your life. You better get some of that Redeemer that can enable you to make it through such a time as this. I know my Redeemer lives in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my tribulation, in the midst of my circumstance. I thank God for my Redeemer! Hello, somebody. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here. We all have to go through something in this life. But God is still a redeeming God, because he created me. Hello, somebody. I said he created me. And not only did he create me, but he has a course for me. Hello, somebody. He says what? Here we go. Talking about the sanctity of life. Your eyes saw what? My unformed body. Wait a minute. How can you see me when I'm not formed? Wait a minute. Let me say that again. How can you see me when I'm not born yet? Hello, somebody. The psalmist says, and that's why we believe in the sanctity of life, both in the womb and outside of the womb, because God thought of you. And not only that, he says, in all the days, what? Wait a minute. I'm unformed, but yet he has ordained the days. What the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. God caused me. God has a plan for me. He caused me. He blessed me to come to this earth. Hello, somebody.
Well,
he formed me to come. No matter what the circumstance was. Hello, somebody. No matter if my mama and daddy didn't have it together. Or even what they did after I was born. God has. He had these days of my life numbered. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Yeah, go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise up in here. God caused me. He planned. He had a wonderful course, a wonderful plan for my life. When I wasn't in existence, when nobody could see me, when nobody was happy, there's some babies, boy. That's one of the best things to come and be born. People are most excited about the babies being born. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Even before that excitement, heaven was excited about what God was about to do. Hello, somebody. You may have come to this earth celebrated, or you may have come to this earth uncelebrated, but God says, I created you. God says, I caused you. All the days ordained for me were written in your book because one of them, before one of them came to be. This is what Job says. Man's days are what?
Determined.
And you have decreed the number of his what?
What?
And what? And have said
limit.
That he cannot exceed. Okay, wait a minute. If God created me, okay, if God created me, and he numbered my days, then what should I be doing within my days?
All right.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You should be serving the Lord. That's what you should be doing. Hello, somebody. I said you should be serving the Lord because the same God who created you is the same God that limits you to death. Hello, somebody. My days are numbered on this earth, and the older that I get, I figure that I have more days behind me than I have before me. And I have to be about my Father's business. I have to keep the main thing, because one day I'm going to be called away from this place. Oh, but some of us live as if we're going to be here forever. Hello, somebody. And it's surprised that other folks' life has been limited. Hello, somebody. We've gone through a lot of deaths here in Paul's Valley. God is trying to tell us something. What the old folk used to say, get right, church, and let's go home. Hello, somebody. We have a lot of distractions within our worlds that they didn't have, but our mission is still the same, to keep the main thing, oh, to make him known. And if you know him, your job is to make him known. These days were ordained so that you could make him known. But the devil will always try to keep you under the mission. You always cause something to happen to where you're worried about what's going on in this life as opposed to trying to make an impact within this life. Hello, somebody. God created me and he limited my days. He coursed my time. God knew I was going to be here in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. I had no clue whatsoever. Hello, somebody. I'm from Dallas, Texas, the big city. Love Dallas, Texas. Love my church. Love my family there. But God formed me in my mother's womb, which means he has the right to change my address. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Don't you think that you as a parent have a right to tell your kids what to do? Especially if they're living under your roof. Hello, somebody. Don't you know you're living under God's roof? You read this text. There's nowhere that you can go to get away from God. You're living under God's roof, and he has the right to tell you what to do. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. He's trying to get us as a church to keep the main thing, to win souls. Of people who are lost and dying souls. Of people who think that their life don't mean anything. Because a crack-addict mother or alcoholic father didn't get the encouragement, support that they needed. And as a result, they fell into the same trap. But God says today that you don't have to stay in the trap. Oh, you've got to give your life to Jesus Christ if you are here and don't know him. Hello, somebody. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And if you have gotten, to know Jesus Christ, it's time for us to get off from the pulpit and the seats and do some real work. Hello, somebody. Don't you know that this church service is a divine huddle, what we call the play? Hello, somebody. And we leave this place to make an impact in what God has called us to do. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And God has called us to make him known. There's some folk that need to know that. They need to know. There's some people that should have been in this place to hear this word from God. They needed to hear that their life has meaning. They needed to hear that their life has purpose. But the people of God are living a purposeless life, so nobody else knows what their purpose is. Because the people of God don't know their purpose. Hello, somebody. You're an ambassador for Christ. You need to leave this place and let the world know this last point, that God cares for me, or God cares for you. Some of you may have never heard this before from anybody that meant anything to you. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. God has thoughts about you. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. God, I like what Jeremiah 29:11 says. The King James says, "For I know the thoughts," but the NIV says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Hello, somebody. And some of you have been going through trials, tribulation, and all kind of pain and all kind of heartaches, and you begin to wonder whether God cares, whether God still loves me. I'm going through all of this, all of this trials, all of this death, all of this pain. Oh, how does God think about me when I experience all of this? Hello, somebody. This is what God says to you. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And this was to a people that was in captivity. A people who was under the tribulation, under the trials. He said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to what? To prosper you and not harm you. Wait a minute. How can you have plans to prosper me when I'm in harm? Hello, somebody. That's what somebody came here today. People have been telling you that God loves you, but you can't understand that God loves you because you're in harm's way. Woo-wee. Surely a loving God would not put me where I am and keep me where I am. Again, we mentioned the butterfly. Ask the butterfly how he felt in the midst of his cocoon. He said, I was struggling in there. It was dark. I was walking, I was free, and I was walking along, and all of a sudden I got trapped. Oh, I got trapped in this cocoon, and it became dark, and then my body began to change, and I began to struggle in the midst of the darkness. I was struggling, and I was struggling. I was trying to get out, and I couldn't get out, but I couldn't give up either, and I began to struggle. Until one day I struggled my way out, and when I got out, oh, I could go to places that I had never seen before, see some things that I had never seen before. My life was transformed because I was made into a beautiful butterfly.
All right. All right.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Somebody better listening up. You in your cocoon. You're struggling, and you don't have no light, and you're struggling, and it seems like there's no hope, and you're struggling, and you wonder whether God cares about you. You're struggling, but God says, so keep struggling. Hello, somebody. You're going through a bad time. Keep going. David said, oh, yeah, Lord, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But David didn't say he stayed there. He said he walked through. And God is telling you right now, it's time for you to walk through all this tribulation, to walk through this trial, to walk through this sickness, to walk through all of it. Keep struggling. Say to your neighbor, oh neighbor, keep struggling in Jesus' name, because God is transforming you. God is trying to make you into something that you never thought that you could be. You thought you were ugly. You thought you didn't have nothing to offer. You thought you were dumb, but God says differently. Oh, God says, I created you. I formed you before anybody had any thought of you, and I planned your days. And also, I care for you in the midst of your days. Oh, God has plans for you. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here. plans to prosper you and not harm you or to not keep you in harm, but plans to give you hope and guess what? And a future. Because as long as you have hope, guess what? You have a future. And God is trying to give you some hope this morning. God is trying to do a divine transfer within the spiritual realm to take a person that came here this morning that had no hope, and he's trying to give you some hope. You had little hope, and he's trying to give you more hope, because he's letting you know that your life is not over. The devil tries to think that you are, let you think that you are dead, but God says there's more in front of you than there is behind you. There's a greater blessing in front of you than the struggles that you went through behind you. In Jesus' name, give God a hand clap of praise. Up in here, up in here. You may have come as far as L.A. and God says, I have some hope for you. Oh, you didn't think, that hope was here in Paul's Valley. You wondered, about Paul's Valley, this little place. But don't you know, you're in Bethlehem. What is Bethlehem? The house of prayers. And God has sent you here this morning to get a little divine, a little heavenly bread in your life to let you know that you are more than a conqueror. You're more than what you became. You are more than what your daddy told you. You're more than what your mama told you. You're more than what your brothers and sisters told you. You're more than what your friends told you. You are more than what you have become. And God says this morning, I want you to get a little less hope. I want you to get a little future in your life. In Jesus' name, I said in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God has more for you. Say to your other neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God has more for you. Oh, if you believe that God has more, why don't you stand to your feet and give God a hand clap of praise. Up in here, up in here. Why don't you believe in the God that you serve? I said give God a hand clap of praise. Up in here. Somebody say yeah. Oh, somebody say oh yeah. Oh, say it again. Oh yeah. Say oh yeah. Oh yeah. God is everything that I need, everything that I want, everything I deserve. God is my King, my Lord, my waymaker, my provider. Oh, God is, oh, everything to me, everything to me, everything to me, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Give God another hand clap of praise up in here. As we open the doors of the church, deacons, will you come? Saints are praying and believing. I'm so glad that my God, Jesus Christ, kept struggling.
Yes.
He was in that Garden of Gethsemane and he had to pray. He had to keep struggling. Even blood drops of blood came from him, and he had to keep praying, and he had to say, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And some of you have to say that this morning, even as you struggle, you have to say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. And once you say that, it's time for you to get up, and you may have to get up like Jesus got up. He got up, he was tried for crimes that he didn't commit. Oh, that's the bad news. Oh, they said he was guilty. That's bad news. They put a crown of thorn on his head, and that's bad news. Is this the will of God for him? Oh, he got beat. Oh, beat, horribly mocked and scorned. Is this the will of God for him? Oh, stone and put a cross on his back. Is this the will of God for him? Oh, and he led him to that hill called Golgotha and nailed him to the cross. Are these the prosperous prayers that God had for Jesus? Oh, and they raised him up on that cross. Oh, the same God that said, I got plans for you. Oh, and he got up on that cross. Oh, and he gave up the ghost. Came down off that cross. Was laid in a borrowed tomb dead. Are these the prayers, oh, that my Savior had for him? Oh, but the Bible says, oh, he lay there the first day. He lay there the second day. But the Bible says that on the third day, I said on the third day, I said on the third day, he got up with all power in his hands. I said he got up with all power in his hands. And because he got up, guess what? You can get up today in Jesus' name. You can die today in Jesus' name. You can stay dead for a few days in Jesus' name. But the end of the story is God gets the glory because he will rise you up on your third day in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, it's time. It's time. You've been looking for purpose. You've been praying for purpose for your life. You've been looking for meaning, and you believe that there was more meaning to your life. Oh, and God is speaking to you this morning. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, died for your sins, was buried and raised again on the third day. If you can believe that, then today you can be saved. Walk out and walk out of your seat and say, I want to get right with God. I want God's purpose for my life. There's somebody else here. Maybe you need to be baptized. The first step of obedience. Maybe you need prayer. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Is there any others? Is there any other? Anybody else? You may need to get some prayer. You said, preacher, I heard what you said, but I need some help. I need some more prayer. I'm going to come down and I'm going to pray. I want you to pray for me. Whatever your decision is this morning, come right now.
Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China. We're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior Lord. Pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. And he raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.